Please pray with me. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. I find the medieval cathedrals in Europe to be absolutely fascinating. They soar upwards towards heaven, and they have everything from gargoyles to angel spires and flying buttresses. I love wandering around the cathedrals and exploring the nooks and the crannies, the tiny chapels, the crypts underneath, and the incredible ceilings. Way, way, way up on the ceiling in some of the cathedrals, and hidden among the architectural features, is a hole, literally. It's called the Holy Ghost Hole. And on Pentecost, one of the great church holidays in medieval times, someone would climb up onto the roof and position themselves over the hole. And just at the right moment in the reading of the Acts text, live doves would be released through the hole into the sanctuary, released to soar among the worshipers as living symbols of the presence of the Holy Ghost. But that wasn't all. Then buckets of red rose petals would be dropped through the hole to fall upon the people below as in tongues of fire. And finally, the choir boys would shuffle along the aisles, making sounds like the rush of the wind. The Holy Ghost came alive that day for the worshipers, and it was a powerful drama. But as I look around our ceiling today, we don't have any Holy Ghost holes, which really isn't that surprising. We're much too practical. Holes would let the rain come in. And climbing onto the roof to release the doves would likely pose an insurance risk. So no Holy Ghost holes in our worship spaces anymore. But do we have Holy Ghost holes in our own lives and in the life of Faith Lutheran Church? Places for the Holy Ghost to enter in, to soar around us, to empower us and change us so that we can live the lives we're called in baptism to live? For the record, I'm going to switch to saying Holy Spirit, even though the actual holes in those cathedrals were called Holy Ghost holes. The term ghost was used for centuries up through the King James Version of the Bible, and many of us grew up using the term ghost. But alas, the word ghost has been redefined by society and is now associated with haunted houses, Halloween, and dead people. And the Holy Ghost is definitely not dead, but ever so much alive. And so we now call it the Holy Spirit. When Jesus first appeared to the disciples on the road to Emmaus, he promised to send them the Holy Spirit. He told them to wait in Jerusalem for the Holy Spirit. The power of the Holy Spirit would give them strength to be witnesses to the gospel in Jerusalem and to the ends of the earth. Jesus knew that they couldn't be witnesses by themselves, but they needed help. So on this day of Pentecost, the disciples were waiting for the Holy Spirit and were praying for the Holy Spirit to come. And they didn't wait by themselves as individuals, but they waited together as a community. They waited and prayed together. Have you ever waited in a community and prayed together in a community? The power of waiting and praying in community is fierce. A story was shared at one of our Bible studies this week about a family who waited at the hospital during their daughter's brain surgery. And as they waited, more than 30 people from the congregation joined them in the waiting room. And in that waiting room, they prayed and they waited and they expected that the Holy Spirit would be present with them. And the Holy Spirit was. There's so much power in a community who waits together, prays together, and expects the Holy Spirit to come. So the community in Acts waited and expected together. They didn't really know and perhaps didn't understand exactly what they were waiting for, but they trusted Jesus enough to pray and to wait. And these disciples prayed with bold confidence that Jesus would fulfill his promises, that the Holy Spirit would come to them. And the Holy Spirit came, as promised, and empowered the community that day to be the church, empowered Peter to proclaim the first sermon, empowered the disciples to preach God's word in languages they themselves did not even understand. And we're told that 3,000 people were added to the church that day. 3,000 people. But that wasn't the end of the story. The Holy Spirit kept coming over and over and over and over again, soaring through the community, visibly empowering and granting them courage, even during persecution. 28 times in the book of Acts, people were given the voice to powerfully preach and witness, even to the Gentiles. And not all 28 of those speeches were given by Peter and Paul, but by those in the community. The community was also given guidance to make decisions and spiritual gifts so that they could be the church, gifts of temperament, character, patience, and cooperation. Over and over and over, the Holy Spirit came and unleashed its power on that community. The Holy Spirit was the force that blew the church into being on Pentecost. It was wild and dynamic. It was fluid and free, and the world was never the same again. Often today, though, we tilt our heads with curiosity when we hear of those communities who experience and describe the Holy Spirit as fire and wind, as a force that cannot be understood, but neither can it be stopped, a force that changes things and blows things into being. Over time, the Holy Spirit seems to have become a bit more confined. We often prefer the advocate image of the Holy Spirit from the Gospel of John. The Holy Spirit is the one who walks beside us, that still, small voice in our head. And the Holy Spirit has often become a personal, not communal thing. We might think of the Holy Spirit as the quiet one of the Trinity, the one who waits silently in the back of the room. I had to laugh when I read theologian Barbara Brown Taylor's comments on the Holy Spirit, though. She wrote, "We don't keep the Spirit in the back of the room because she's shy, but because she's dangerous." So what would this community be like if we had a hole in our ceiling and we called and prayed for the Holy Spirit to come? And we waited and expected and trusted for the wild and dangerous Holy Spirit to come into Faith Lutheran. And what if we didn't try and figure out the how and the what and the why of the Holy Spirit? If we didn't try and figure out how big the hole should be, what color to paint the hole, whether the hole should be in the front of the church or the rear of the church, or even talked about the fact that we've never had a hole before. What if we simply trusted that the Holy Spirit will come and release its power on this community? As a community, we already call upon the Holy Spirit. We do it all the time. Listen in our worship. Jesus promised us that at our baptism, the Holy Spirit will come into our lives, and we call upon the Holy Spirit to do just that. Each and every Sunday we come to communion and we call upon the Holy Spirit to be with us. We light candles at the back of the sanctuary, asking the Holy Spirit to be present with those we remember by our candle and to be present with us who do the remembering. We call upon the Holy Spirit to bless our life journeys and our marriages. In a few minutes, Denny and Paula and all of us will call again upon the power of the Holy Spirit to continue to pour out the abundance of blessing upon that marriage. The Holy Spirit has already come into this community over and over and over again. Think of the ministries that this church has started, the people it has served, the lives that have been changed by knowing Christ, including our own life. But the Holy Spirit doesn't just come once. The Holy Spirit promises to come to us over and over and over again. And when the Holy Spirit comes, and we trust that it will come, will we recognize the presence of the Holy Spirit? Or like some at Jerusalem that day, attribute it to the new wine, or coincidence, or great timing, or even our own effort? Will we let the Holy Spirit again run wild and free in our lives and in our community, igniting us and changing us? Or are we comfortable and might actually prefer that the Holy Spirit just sort of stand next to us, to call on when we need, and maybe even stay at the back of the room? Max Lucado has a well-quoted phrase: God loves you the way that you are, but God will never leave you the way that you are. The Holy Spirit will keep coming to us over and over and over again. And if we let that happen and we embrace it, the Holy Spirit will change us as individuals and as a faith community. It's Pentecost. The disciples are together waiting and praying. The Holy Spirit comes to them and blows the church into being and changes everything. At Faith Lutheran today, it's Pentecost. We in community are waiting and praying and calling upon the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit will come. May God give us the strength to trust, to listen, to be empowered by the Holy Spirit, and to be changed. Amen.